RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it.
For your lives. It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard Tuesday morning in Kansas City, where we'll take you inside the Commanders' locker room here in about half an hour. We'll hear from the players. We'll hear from Coach Dan Quinn. We'll hear from everybody. You'll hear from me, my thoughts on it. We'll also check in with Ben Standig, last man standing. We chatted about the game for a few on his podcast. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. As soon as they're finished playing the baseball, we'll talk about the baseball. I kind of just want to do an all-baseball show. I'm not going to do an all-baseball show. We'll do a baseball update here soon, but we got to open with a terrible Tuesday. Second time we've done terrible Tuesday this year. Commanders had a lot of primetime games coming in, and one of the positives of that was chance to for America to see them, and they were so good in those primetime games last year. And here's what we'll start with. We'll get to Arrowhead and the stadium and the atmosphere, which is so good. And Zach Ertz setting a record, which is awesome. And we'll get to him. And Marcus Mariota with a very nice game. Lots to get to, lots to digest. Jacob Martin, good game as they rotate around Frankie Lou, who I thought was put in a more impactful spot last night. One of many observations I will hit you with. So there's the fire hose. Things are coming your way. But all those primetime games. Part of that was, you know, they're in the business of trying to produce the most entertaining television available. They're in the business of trying to make sure that we the consumer, get the NFL football we want and deserve. And the Commanders have been exciting in those moments. Jaden Daniels leading the charge, but so many guys stepping up, and Terry McLaurin's a big player. And it just feels like whatever magic they had last year, whatever, you know, pixie dust, chemistry, camaraderie, because I'm not going to say luck, because some of it was luck. You know that. We've talked about that. The Hail Mary was luck. It was. Jaden had a nice throw. You don't get that without some luck, though. But there was a lot of skill along the way, too. And we'll get into Adam Peterson a bit, because I think on a morning like this, after a loss like that, it's fair to say, what were they doing? Didn't they know they needed to get younger? Why did they sign so many old guys? They look old. And the lead up to this game was, can they stop playing the old guys and start playing some of the young guys, the faster guys? And I think they brought some more speed last night defensively. I think they adjusted some of the things we knew they were not good at. They added, you know, like I mentioned, Luvu in a different position, Martin having a great night. You know, Sanders to Lattimore was even better. Lattimore gets the interception on the first go round and was not a liability last night. They tweaked around the edges and got to where they needed to get. But here's the reality then, when you do that and you lose, maybe, just maybe, this roster isn't good enough. Maybe this roster isn't good enough to get to where you got to last year. And maybe whatever magic you had in that room, Dan Quinn, us against the world, you know, new owner, team of outcasts, maybe it's just not there, ready to be duplicated again this year. And that's fine too, because I still believe in Jaden Daniels. So let's start with that. He didn't play last night, but everything centers around him. They assembled a veteran roster this year because they believe Jaden Daniels, their quarterback, is the future. And they believe every year they have him is an important year to push your chips to the middle of the table and build the best roster you can for him. And I don't think that's wrong. Obviously, he's struggled at times this year, but I think that's the correct thinking, and I think he'll be an NFL quarterback for a while. At the same time, it's a loss like that. Well, again, I'm not holding the actual loss against them, but a loss like that can reveal this roster maybe wasn't as good as you thought it was when you go to Arrowhead, when you play a team like that. And things that worked so well for you last year, being aggressive, right? Take that, for instance. Because Dan Quinn said, they came into this game, they were planning to be aggressive. And you saw it in their decisions, you saw it in the things they did. They go for it on fourth down early in the game because that's a tone setter. And they go to Zach Ertz, and he's spotted just a tiny bit short of the first down. And I could tell you my thoughts on that. One is, I think he got the first down. It's the second time in a Commander's uniform he's been denied a key first down. I think he got the first down. Clearly, they did not have a replay angle available to prove he got the first down. Also, this digital measurement is a complete joke. Just go back to using the chains if it's going to take that long. Why in the world does it take that long to do a digital measurement? So you go for it on fourth down. That's your brand. And it was fourth and six, too. Man, not a fourth and one, not a fourth and two, a fourth and six, and you get 5.5. And that's where you start, and you say, man, had a good play, dialed up a winner, didn't get it across the line. Last year, those were the things that went right for you. Come back, fourth and one. Now, this one's on Cliff Kingsbury because you had second and two coming in to score, and he calls three consecutive pass plays on second down, third down, and fourth down, which I can't agree with that. When you need short yardage, you need to give Chris Rodriguez at least an opportunity to get those yards. Those are important yards. Those are big yards for the Commanders. It's not great that they stuck in the air for all three of those. I don't love that. But that's, we talk about the difference between last year and this year. And there it is. There it is for you in one sequence. Last year, they couldn't miss on fourth downs. This year, they can't buy a fourth down. And two of them out of the gate, both coming off of takeaways. You finally get, you know, the Chiefs crack the door open for you, and you can't walk through it. You can't squander opportunities like that against a good team. The Chiefs, you know, Travis Kelce has the interception. It bounces off of him into Bobby Wagner, and Marshawn Lattimore makes the interception happen. 0 points out of those two takeaways. And that's tough because you've been waiting for those takeaways all year. And you drive the ball off of both of them, and you get the ball into opposing territory off of both of them. First three drives, ball goes into opposing territory. You have the fourth downs, you have the interception. Fourth drive, you get down there, finally punch it in, score. It's 7-7 at halftime. You say, fresh game. You feel good about that. I love that the defense held right after that. I thought that was a great sign for everybody involved, that the defense held its ground. 50 seconds left. That's been prime give up a touchdown territory. And Patrick Mahomes is a prime score a touchdown guy. I felt really good coming in at halftime. I did. I felt less good coming out of halftime because Patrick Mahomes started running around doing his thing. The offense just couldn't click in the same way. Then Terry gets injured, which is a tough break as well. It unravels pretty quickly, which you know, because it's Terrible Tuesday here on The Fan. We're glad you joined us, even though it's terrible. We'll still break it down for you. We'll still go into the locker room. We'll still do all the things we do on these days. And I think there's still hope, right? I didn't declare this a must-win game, and I'm not going to declare yesterday a must-win game. But now your short week, you're coming back home to get ready to play Seattle. It's not a great spot to be in. Seattle's coming off a 13 days rest. They had the bye week. Huge rest disparity there. They're a good team, and it's not a 1 o'clock kick. It's a Sunday night game, which plays into the West Coast team just as much. It feels like the mojo doesn't work this year. Whatever that mojo was, it feels like maybe this is just our way of all adjusting. Like, okay, it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be a rocket ship to the top. It's still going to be a slow rebuilding process to get a complete roster, to get depth, to get speed, to get all those things that they need to get. And we'll get to those things eventually. I'm not throwing in the towel on Adam Peters. I think quite the opposite. I think the emergence of Luke McCaffrey has been validating to Adam Peters this year. I think Javon Kinlaw's performance has been validating to Adam Peters this year. I think there's a lot of arguments that he's been a solid general manager for the Washington Commanders. But a little reality check. That's what a Super Bowl roster looks like. You're not quite there yet. And we'll get one of those against the Eagles, too, later in the year. Okay. Not quite there yet. Still some work to do climbing the mountain. All right, we're off and running. It's a terrible Tuesday. More observations from the game coming at you on the other side. You're listening to Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders, even on terrible Tuesdays. This is 910 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk every week. I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. On this terrible Tuesday, Commanders fall to the Chiefs 3-5. Three games before the bye, got to win two of the three. It's pretty simple math right there. That'll get you back to within striking distance, and it got some work to do. Last year added Marshawn Lattimore at the trade deadline. This year probably not going to add anybody at the trade deadline. Will they be sellers? I think it's a fair question to ask, especially with the Jaden Daniels injury. We'll get an update on him about 3:30 today. Our friends Grant and Danny will pass that along. They'll be on the air then as they return back to D.C. after an exciting night at Arrowhead. Got back from the hotel. So it was a night game. It ends late. Did interviews. Ben and I chatted, which you just heard. And got back to the hotel. And in the car, I was listening to baseball. I was like, I'll get to hear the end of the baseball. Got back to the hotel. Baseball's still going on. Settled into bed. Still watching baseball. 18 innings of baseball. That calls for a baseball update.
Over the shoulder. End zone. Touchdown. 15-point ball. Touchdown.
We interrupt this program to get baseball at its best.
First pitch. Pops it up right side of the infield, back into shallow right field. Makes the catch. One pitch, one out to start the ninth.
Baseball stuff!
Baseball stuff!
And I know I'm breaking all the rules right now. It's a Commanders post-game day. We flew all the way to Kansas City for this. I'm in Kansas City, so I can tell you about the Commanders. But if you know me, you know I love baseball. And 18 innings of World Series baseball, by the way, not a boring 18 innings of World Series baseball. So many close calls. Bases loaded in the 12th. Clayton Kershaw comes on. The Dodgers go to a guy who's thrown one major league inning this year. He he holds the Jays in check. So many fly balls to the warning track that got us excited. So many moments where the winning run could have crossed. That's as good as baseball gets right there. 18 innings of it. So glad they do not have the designated runner on second in the postseason. Because in the regular season, that moment wouldn't be as special. That would be fatiguing to everybody, and we would have all gone to bed. But in the World Series, you can't not watch. It was thrilling. And I am intrigued by, I think there was like, when Freeman hit the home run to end it, and I know all you were asleep. I was not asleep. When Freeman hit the home run to end it, I think there had been so many fly balls to the warning track, and it was a cold night. The baseball was dying in the air. They didn't respond right away, and you could tell. It was like, deepest part of center, he's not going to get this. But he did. He got it. Here's what happened.
Full count on Freeman. Little delivers. Freeman, it's one high in the air. Straight away center field. Marshall at the wall. Gone! Freddie Freeman, Mr. World Series, ends the marathon at midnight. He is mobbed at home plate as the Dodgers walk it off in the bottom of the 18th inning. 6-5 the final to grab a 2-1 series lead.
You want drama? Come to Dodger Stadium. And for those that left early, don't make any illegal lane changes right now.
There's a video of them doing this call. And the color guy, the older guy, he looks so grumpy that he's still there. You want drama? Yeah, we want drama. We got drama last night at Dodger State. How good was this baseball game that we're halfway into this segment, if not further? Will Klein, of course, has to get his flowers because he comes in. He's the guy who pitched one inning of Major League Baseball this year. Freeman, of course. I haven't even mentioned Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani was not quiet. He hit 2 home runs in regulation. He hit 4 extra base hits. And then starting in the 9th inning, they decided Shohei Ohtani didn't get to play baseball anymore. And he was walked on 5 consecutive plate appearances. Oh, yeah, and he's the starting pitcher tonight. They got to come back and do it again tonight. It's game 4 of the World Series. Ohtani on the mound, a chance to slam the door if you go up 3-1 at home. And it feels like you're in a very good spot in the World Series. Ohtani with an all-timer of a game again after an all-timer of a game against the Brewers in game 4. And he's back on the mound pitching tonight. I mean, it's remarkable what this guy is doing right now. 5 intentional walks. I know the last one was semi-intentional, but it became intentional at the end. 5 intentional walks. Absolute madness at Dodger Stadium. I got to steal a segment for baseball. That's all there is to it. Baseball, still the best. They'll play it again tonight. Dodgers up 2-1 in the series after the home run at 2:50 a.m. Richmond time last night. That's a lot of baseball. When they put the pitch clock in, they weren't thinking about this, but I'm glad they did, because without the pitch clock, we would have been there. We'd probably still be there playing baseball and watching baseball. That's the story in the baseball world. We'll get back to the Commanders. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We'll send you off to AWOD Radio. We'll do it all on the other side. This is the home of the Commanders in Richmond. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Now we're in Kansas City.
MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. I've had a great time here. If you get a chance to go to Arrowhead, it's a phenomenal place. It's loud. The in-game production is fantastic, which, I know that as Josh Harris travels the country, he's taking notes on these, and I would expect some of that to be reflected on Sunday at Commander's Stadium, because a lot of the things they do are kind of patterned after things the Chiefs do with the lights and everything, and so I think having seen it, they'll probably take that back home, refine it, go back to the lab. You see the spear. GP and I were talking about that. Grant Paulson's on Grant and Danny today from 3 to 6 on The Fan. Jeeps talk about, you know, and we've all noticed this, the slow return of the spear to the imagery, which they've kind of presented in their pregame videos as this like medieval thing. Roman gladiators, medieval warriors, they use spears. It's very clear where we're going with this. We'll do the spear throwback helmet, the Native American spear at some point. We're not going all the way back to the name, so they get over that. You know, I say anytime they play the Chiefs, it's, wait a second, they're doing, and we can't do Redskins? No, because the last owner was a guy who does not engender a lot of good feelings among a lot of people, and some of those people took the name away from him, not because they dislike us, but because they disliked him. And that was a thing he liked, and that was leverage they had in a moment where they were trying to get him out. And they did. And Josh Harris owns the team now, and we're happy about that. But Arrowhead, absolutely as loud as they say, we've been two great places this year. Lambeau, which is fabulous, and SoFi for the Chargers, which is special in its own way, that has nothing to do with football. It's just a cool building. It's like touring a Frank Lloyd Wright house or whatever. You're going down to the VMFA and looking at nice things. Like, you're like, oh yeah, those are nice things. I don't know that like they engender the feelings that I want to feel when I watch football. That's what you get at Lambeau. That's what you get at Arrowhead. These are places where football fans come to watch football. And of course, it's loud because they actually don't have a lot of luxury suites at Arrowhead. People are outside in the elements watching football, and they've been pretty dang good at football for a pretty long time. So a fun trip. Ben Standing and I went, finished off my barbecue quadrella, not a trifecta. What's that? Quinella? Is that the, I don't know. Derby Bell have to weigh in on that. What's the one with four? Oh, I looked at it. Superfecta. That's not the word I'm thinking of. Whatever. I went to four barbecue places. Ben Standing and I went to Joe's. That's a famous one because Anthony Bourdain said is a place you have to eat before you die, which I've eaten there, so I guess I can die now. Hopefully he put other places on the list too, so I can't die yet because I got to go eat at those other places too. Standing can die now. We chatted after the game. We'll play that for you. Here at 11, we're going inside the locker room at 10:30, and we'll get to baseball before we're done here. Because it reminded me of the Nationals' 18-inning playoff game against the Giants. And that was the beginning of, like, are the Nationals fans terrible fans? And by the way, the answer was no. They had just taken the Metro to the game, and the Metro was going to shut down, so they had to leave. And also, it was really cold that night. And also, the manager made a bad decision and gave up the one run to the Giants that led to the 18 innings, which led to the Giants winning, which led to a lot of misery for the Nats. Before they ended up winning a World Series, that part was pretty fun. As you know, in Kansas City, of course, the Chiefs Stadium right next to the Kansas City Royals Baseball Stadium, which is a very good baseball stadium as well, and is rapidly becoming one of the oldest stadiums in Major League Baseball as well, as everybody modernizes. Obviously, Wrigley, Fenway, Dodger Stadium. But right after that, it's Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, which is an absolute gem as well. Worth your time. Kansas City, worth your time. Grant did gave the very nice Midwestern compliment. Everybody here is very nice, which is true. It certainly helps when the football team steamrolls everybody in their path as they did last night. Commanders dropped to 3-5. That's the terrible part of Terrible Tuesday. Some good individual performances within that, and validation of bringing in Marcus Mariota as your backup quarterback, by the way. He ran the Jaden playbook. He ran read option. He ran designed quarterback draw. He did it well, too. Don't mishear me. Jaden's better at doing those things. But Marcus Mariota did a very nice job keeping this team in this game. There's only a couple throws that I think definitively he would want back or that the team would want back. Obviously, the 4th-and-1 where he just way overthrows Terry, I think was feeling the pressure, and that was off of feel rather than off of sight, which he realized as soon as he let the ball go. But on the whole, kept the team in the game. Certainly not his fault at all that Debo has the ball bounce off his face and an interception on the first drive. Not his fault that Zach Ertz comes up short on the second drive. I think that the third one was his fault. That was the fourth and one. And then gets the touchdown to Terry, probably a little overthrows Terry, but that's why you pay Terry McLaurin a lot of money, because he's making catches like that. A night that validates Terry as a star performer, Marcus Mariota as a sensible and good backup quarterback in the NFL. A lot of guys getting a lot of run in a good way last night. Jacob Martin, who we'll hear from in about half an hour towards the end of Inside the Locker Room. And also a night where you realized as a team, these guys just aren't where they need to be. One more Arrowhead note that I wanted to pass along, because we followed this story closely. You remember the Chiefs fired their PA announcer after he refused to change the way he called third downs. And so I just want to tell you, the new guy they've got, and I think this is very natural, who he understands calling third down is the literal reason he has this job. This man put his all into third downs. I should have recorded it for you, because it was a true, like, Andres Cantor would be jealous of how this guy called third down. He's the Spanish soccer announcer who yells goal. He was stretching his O's, stretching the R's, stretching the O's. I tell you, that stadium knew what down it was, particularly when it was third down. It was not an uninformed stadium on third down. It was rocking. It was a great atmosphere. And, you know, it's hard for me to go too hard on the team for losing. I thought they would hang in there. They had chances to. They had two golden opportunities early and a third that was on the verge of being a golden opportunity. I mean, they weren't quite in field goal range when they did the fourth and six from the 40, but also dialed up a winner of a play, could have kept the chains moving. This is very easily a game that could have been 21-7 at half, and then we're talking about a different thing. And also, this is a team that has ride or die with the defensive line. First half, they got pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Second half, they didn't. And man, when that dude has time, he carves you up. And he carved these guys up. And there were moments and there were plays where he was scrambling and he was choosing which open receiver he wanted to throw it to. He wasn't waiting for an open throw. He was deciding which open guy he was going to throw it to. And some big defensive issues as well. When we do the full tape breakdown today, I'll be curious to watch that, because it looked like the zone was just getting picked apart when they had time to do it, and they got great receivers too, and they have that chemistry. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and his receivers and Rashee Rice and those, they have that chemistry that these guys just don't have yet. But some unique defensive formations too. Ran three safeties at one point, which was interesting to me to see. They're doing things. They're trying things. But man, that mojo just isn't there. And you'll hear some of that. Time to go inside the locker room. We'll do that on the other side of this break. It's Terrible Tuesday. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond, 910 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
segments to go on a terrible Tuesday. We're in Kansas City right now. It's shortly before 11 a.m. out here. Hello to everybody on the East Coast. We're coming back. We'll be in studio tomorrow after a fun trip to Arrowhead Stadium. Not the result anybody was looking for, but always a great place to watch a game. Great atmosphere. Y'all know I'm biased. I'm from here. Even if you're not, though, it's a great place to come watch a game. Lambeau's number one, but we are really lucky to have gotten Lambeau and Arrowhead in the same season, and Minnesota later in the year, which is also a phenomenal place to watch a football game. Great, great stadium, pirate ship, great crowd. They're into it there. Great mix of good crowd and good venue there in Minnesota, and always the history there as well, of course, with UVA winning its basketball national title there under Tony Bennett. So always good memories when we get to Minnesota. And they were in L.A., and SoFi's cool. It's just cool to be at SoFi Stadium. And that doesn't feel like you're watching football. Feels like you've been invited to a swanky dinner party in California, but still cool in its own way. And we won't be in Madrid, but the team will be in Madrid. All week long is the word. I was asking about that last night because some teams now are doing the treat it like a West Coast road game, fly out, play the game, fly back. Dan Quinn, you know he loves his bonding time. He's going to get some bonding time with the guys before the bye week. And I think what will be a pretty critical game, if they can steal one of the next two, and I think they'll be underdogs in both. You got Sunday Night Football now coming up on the short week against the Seahawks, which is not a great spot to be in, but it's a beatable team, but they're not going to be favored to win. I think that's how you got to approach it when you get to the stadium. Right now, Seahawks 3.5-point favorites. Obviously, Jaden Daniels could move that line either way. And then you come back the next week, and it'll be the Lions. And we know how good the Lions are. You got to steal one of those two. The defense took steps forward last night, did more of what we've asked for. As you know, as I gather reaction from you guys and around the internet this morning as we do this show here, it seems like there's this acknowledgement of like, okay, you know, it's just not enough. You know, still people calling for Joe Whitehead, and I get that, and I understand that. But also, you asked them to go to zone, and they went to zone, and Mahomes ripped them to little tiny pieces in the second half. You ask them to, you know, play the young guys. They played the young guys who made young guys mistakes. I'd still like a little less Bobby Wagner, but I don't know that the guys behind Bobby Wagner are going to make anybody feel good or going to fix this situation at all either. The Athletic did its NFL power rankings this morning, which I think are generally a pretty reliable indicator. They have finally put the Colts at number one, by the way, an acknowledgement of what we've all been kind of watching, but not really wanting to believe for the last few weeks, starting with that Chargers game. Colts are dominant right now. They are the number one team in football right now. Does that mean they'll win the Super Bowl? No. I mean, look, I still like Mahomes when the chips are down. And, you know, even if it's in Indy, I still like Mahomes with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. But they're undoubtedly playing some fantastic football right now. The Lions at number two, Eagles at number three, Chiefs at four. But the Washington Commanders are at number 22 on this week's NFL power rankings, and that's safely outside the playoffs. That's not worst team in football, but it's safely outside the playoffs, and that's no man's land. Drafting 10th through 15th is no man's land. I trust Adam Peters, and I think he'll turn in a good card and a good pick, but you know, you don't get a can't-miss superstar in that range. And also, you're not where the fans want you to be, which is in the playoffs. And so there's a little recalibration going on here of an NFC title game team last year regressing to the point where now I'm telling you they'll be lucky to get into the bye at 5-6 with the chance to scrap and claw their way back in the second half of the season. I also continue to think the coaching situation here is fascinating. Look, Jane's going to come back when Jane comes back, and that'll look like it fixes some things. And to the people who say, because I have seen some people this morning who say, shut Jaden down, absolutely not. He needs to play football. He needs to build that chemistry back, work on the pocket passing things that he looked rusty on early in the year. Also, and needs to work on the durability and protecting himself. There's always going to be a risk of injury in professional football, but if you shut him down for the year right now, you run the risk of next year being what the end of this year would have looked like, which is probably going to be rocky and up and down. Fight through that sophomore slump. I still believe in Jaden Daniels, okay? Unequivocally. I still believe you make moves around Jaden Daniels being your franchise quarterback. The question is, right, if people want Joe Witt fired, I think that's misdirected. I think it's Dan Quinn's defense. And Dan Quinn was very protective of his defense at the press conference last night. He was asked by John Kime of ESPN, was it miscommunication? No, it wasn't miscommunication. He was very firm on that. This group played better. This group did more of what I want them to do. And also, they weren't good enough. So if you don't like Joe Witt right now, you don't like Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is very much hands-on with this defense right now. I don't know how to say it any other way than that. Cliff Kingsbury could bounce, and I think teams are going to kick the tires on him. I think he's got a reputation around the league that's probably a little ahead of where he's actually at, but I'm not the one making hires. He's always been an enormously attractive candidate for a lot of teams, and I think he will be in this cycle too. If the Bengals come open, you can work with Joe Burrow. Maybe the Dolphins come open. That's a job where you can rebuild in peace down there. There's going to be options for him, I think. The question is, does he hang around and do another year with Jaden? He's financially set because he keeps getting paid by the Cardinals, which I believe continues into next year. I don't think he's off the Cardinals payroll until the end of next year. So he can coast one more if he wants. If he doesn't, it's now all of a sudden the biggest hire of Dan Quinn's time here. Who do you bring in to continue that momentum offensively? And, of course, there's the big picture question, right? Like, on a team that won with culture last year, can Dan Quinn recreate that? They played aggressive last night. They played together. I thought the team, and everybody said this in the locker room, the team had a great week of practice, and I believe the team had a great week of practice, but can you hold them together as this thing slips away from grasp a little bit? That will be a big test for Dan Quinn, and we're going to see in the coming weeks whether he can pull that off or not, and I think it was a big selling point in him coming here, and that'll be a very fair thing to grade him on. I thought he did well last night getting the team ready to play. I thought he did well making the changes that he thought were needed and that some of us were clamoring for. He didn't go all the way, but he went part of the way. And he gave the team opportunities. Debo doesn't catch the ball in the red zone, first possession. Zach Ertz is spotted an inch short, second possession. Third possession, I don't know what Cliff Kingsbury is doing not running three consecutive times from second and two. That's on him. Three great opportunities for points, and this isn't to say they should have kicked field goals. I think it was correct. You have to be aggressive to beat the Chiefs, and this is a team that made its name being aggressive. But what happens when you're aggressive and it doesn't work out? That's what this team's going to have to make peace with. It's fun to yell about, Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn, you just go for it on fourth down. It's so fun, and it's great to watch, which we were saying all last year. And now, on the other side of that, what happens when you go for it on fourth down and it doesn't hit? And it doesn't hit back-to-back times. And your defense is finally making the plays everybody was begging for against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Could have been a very different game. Kudos to the defense. We heard them say it in the locker room. That was good enough. And I believe that was Jacob Martin who said that first half was good enough. That's who we are. It's two takeaways and that last drive, 58 seconds left. Mahomes gets the ball back, doesn't score. Don't sleep on that. That was a great defensive stand by these guys. Second half, they don't get pressure. Mahomes picks them apart. It unravels. The offense doesn't get rolling nearly as well as it did in the first half. That's the game in a nutshell. Had opportunities, couldn't convert. That's who they are. 22nd best team in the league in the power rankings this week. Is that fair? Is that unfair? I think they can be in the playoff chase, but they have to beat Seattle or Detroit one of the next 2 weeks. It will not be easy. It will be quite difficult, as a matter of fact. And if they don't and they fly off to Madrid, I'm going to tell you they're flying off to Madrid for a nice vacation, but not anything that's going to resurrect their season. It's a tough 2 weeks. Defense looked better. The defense that played in the first half can beat the Seahawks this weekend. I know Sam Darnold's having a great year. He is having a great year. I know Dak picked him apart. I know Mahomes picked him apart. I have to believe you can get to Darnold if you play like that in the first half. And also the injuries keep stacking up too, which is brutal. Sounds like, you know, Terry was in the locker room talking to us. You heard that earlier in the show. Sounds like he's optimistic he's going to be all right. But man, it's just a thing that's going to linger. Just one of those years. That's why we talk about baseball from time to time as well. We'll talk to AWOD. We'll crosstalk. We'll get you ready for AWOD Radio. We'll send you back to Richmond as we wrap up our time in Kansas City. Great people, great hospitality. Been a great couple days of shows, and we will put a bow on it on the other side. You're listening to Richmond's home of the Washington Commanders. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.